not, these are not my words. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. It is of the world. In other words, you have no business with it, because you have been purchased, and you belong to the family of God. Now, God is now your Father. So that means whatever doesn't belong to your Father, whatever your Father doesn't have and in, should not be found around you. You should not even be found near it. That's why the Bible says in the book of Psalm 1. I know the scripture. I'm trying to remember. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The Bible calls you blessed. When you are not standing, when you are separate from the world, when you are separate from the world, he calls you blessed. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. As a child of God, you don't have any business walking in the counsel of the ungodly. See what the Bible is saying here. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. Leave it alone. Hey, I'm beginning to... What I said I didn't want to do. I'm sorry. At least I've not passed this place now. All right. If the Bible says we should not be of this world, that means there is a danger that accompanies being of this world. Do you agree with me? If the Bible says don't, just like God told Adam, do not eat this fruit, and he carried his big head, and woman, he went to eat the fruit. There was a consequence there now. So there is a danger that comes with loving this world. When the Bible says you are in this world, when you are of the world, there's a danger that comes with it. To be in the world will simply mean to influence it with the life of God. It is one thing to be in the world. It is another thing to be of the world. Two different things. Do you agree with me? You are in the world. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. To be of the world will mean to be influenced by it. In other words, the world is the dictator of your life. That is what happens when you are of the world. Whatever the world is doing, you are following suit. The world is going this way, you are going. You don't have a mind of your own. All right? You can't claim to love the Lord and love the things of the world. They don't go hand in hand. It is impossible. You can't love mammon and love God at the same time. You either choose one. You remember Jesus was saying, you give what belongs to Caesar, and what belongs to God. It's as simple as that. So you cannot claim to have the love of the Father in you, and you are loving the things of the world. And as a matter of fact, the best way to know if the love of the Father is not in you is by your love for the things of the world. If the things of the world has built so much tabernacle inside of you, then it is clear, it is glaring that the love of the Father is not in you. Amen. Praise God. They don't go hand in hand. And as a matter of fact, God has given us a choice. All right, one of the things I love about God so much, and I like to talk about this fact, is that God will never shove anything down your throat. Never. He will put it before you. Choose. Put it before you. Choose. So he's putting it before you, life and death. And he will say, I advise you, choose life. The way of the world is death. We saw it in the scripture we read earlier, pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. What do they lead to? Death. Eternal separation from God. All right. So when it comes to the matter of choosing the way to go, we cannot sit on a fence. We cannot. You need to pick a side. The world or the word. The world or the word. You cannot sit on a fence. Revelation 3:16 tells us, if you are lukewarm, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. God doesn't want a lukewarm Christian. Hot today, cold tomorrow. Amen. The way of the world is the way of Balaam. The way of the world is the way of Balaam. And what is the way of the world? What is the way of Balaam, rather? The way of unrighteousness. You'll find that in Numbers 22. It's a very long chapter that we are not going to read tonight. If you get home, you can read it. The way of the world is the way of Balaam. The way of unrighteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 to 15. I want us to read it also. Should we do a message? I think we should do message translation. 2 Peter 2:13. Message translation. It's going to be a long read though. I don't mind. Message translation, please. It says, sorry, go back. I didn't see this when I was studying. It's not message translation. Go back to KJV. What's this word? Sorry, thank you so much. I mean, something I read before I left home, and I didn't see boomerang. Where is it coming from? All right, and shall 2 Peter 2:13-15. Okay, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, spotting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. I don't like it, but please continue. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and art they have exercised. KJV will warn you, but don't panic, please. And art they have exercised with covetous practices caused children. Please, let's go back to this is catching my head. Okay, which are forsaking the right way. Which are forsaking the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. That is the way of the world. The wages of unrighteousness. They love the wages. They love unrighteousness so much. So I said, God's way is not the world's way, and it will never be. A life submitted to the pattern of this world cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. A life submitted to the patterns of this world cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The world has nothing to offer. And that's why the Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 8 to 9, that we should watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. That is not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Him. Whatever is of God gets expressed in God. So you can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ. You don't need to. Isn't it amazing how people will just wake up one morning and say that? Now, let's even talk about the tradition of the world. How they just wake up one morning and just do things. There is no book guiding their lives. There is nothing. They just wake up and say, this is the next thing we want to do. I want to identify as an animal. Now I identify as a cat. Meow, meow, meow. It doesn't even make any sense. You see a 50-year-old man wake up one morning and say, now I identify as a toddler. I want to be eating Cerelac. I actually saw a video of a man. This man is about 35 or 40. No, what am I saying? About 55. And they are putting, you know when you want to feed a baby, you put one thing around the baby's neck. They put it around his neck and he's crawling. Saying, I now identify as a toddler, as a 3-year-old baby. Can you please tell me, is that the way of the world? It is not the way of the world and it will never be. The way of the world will tell you that it is okay for man and man to, it is okay for woman and woman to. It doesn't make any sense. There is nothing, no principle, nothing, guy. They cannot even, it's just weird, really. And you know what, I learned something this week. I learned that if you are not deeply rooted in the world, if you are not deeply rooted in the world, the things of the world will not be weird to you. The things of the world will be normal to you. It's just like, it's normal now. You won't be defending it. Of course, you come to church, you pray once in a while, but the world is not there. When you see things of the world, do you know that there are some so-called Christians that will defend these things? They will tell you, where did the Bible say it expressly that man and man cannot marry? That's a sign that you are not reading the word of God. When you are not deeply rooted in the word of God, you will be tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. You won't be able to take a stand. But when you are deeply rooted in the word of God, nothing can move you. Nothing can shake you. Me now, I'm not trying to boast, but there's nothing in this world that can make me believe that it is okay for a man to identify as a cat or a woman to identify as a man. Why? Because the word of God is what I live by. The word of God is what I see the world through. The word of God is the lens, is the mirror that I use to view this world. All right? To have a biblical understanding of this whole worldview thing, It is actually very, very essential for us to go back to the beginning. Because, I mean, that is how it all started. So to understand this whole worldview discussion, let's go back to the beginning. And what is the beginning? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. What does it say? In the beginning. Are you who? Say it now. In the beginning. Can you see that? In the beginning, God. Let's even leave created the heaven and the earth. Let's put it. I wish somebody can just delete that part. And just say, in the beginning, God. Like, in the beginning, God. Can you see that? If God, this same God, is the beginning, he was there before the beginning began. He was the one that told the beginning to begin as when the beginning started. Then his son, Jesus, should be our measure of value, should be our measure of standard. Jesus should be our measure of, when we talk about culture, he should be the one shaping the culture we follow. Not some so-called, whatever it is. We don't import different culture into our own system. No, we don't. Like I said earlier, we should be the ones setting the pace. We should be the ones setting the pace. Just when I thought I can't use up to 50 minutes. And I still have a long way to go. But I'm going to move very fast now. When we talk about Christian worldview, we are talking about seeing the world the way God sees it. In situations where hypocrisy, when Jesus was here, hypocrisy was the order of the day. I mean, you see the Pharisees. I'm already moving around. You see the Pharisees, all these other people. You see them, like, they were hypocrites. Devil was tormenting people. Blind people, there were a lot of people doing all sorts of crazy things. Adultery was the order of the day. What was Jesus' stand? He had a position. What was the position? The position of righteousness. That is the same position we should take in this world, in this age. The position of righteousness, not the way of Balaam, which is the wages of unrighteousness. God took a stand. As a matter of fact, there was a part where people were trading and doing all sorts of things in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, Jesus went in there and he started flogging on them. He sent them out. He took a stand. Now we have a lot of people abusing, saying all sorts of things about Christians, and you see the post and you just scroll. Say, it's none of my business. It is your business. No, it's your business. Right? It's your business. It is your business. It is your responsibility to shed light. What is the reason? So, one day I was studying the word, and I think I wrote this in my Bible somewhere, in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. I was reading the Bible, and I was just like, okay, why is there so much darkness in the world? And Jesus was telling me, the reason why there is so much darkness in the world is because light shines the brightest in the dark. Like, it is when, the beauty of light, you see the beauty of light when you've spent so much time in darkness and you just put light on, bam, that's when you see the beauty of light. So we are called to shine the light. We are called to shine the light in dark places. We are called to shine the light in dark places. One of the things I've come to realize as I journey with God is that the things of the world, okay, I said this earlier, will be weird to you if you have a biblical standpoint, if you have a biblical worldview. The things of the world will not make sense to you. You will be so disgusted. Like me now, I see some things and I cannot even stand it. Do you understand? Why? Because I get to see the world through the lens of the word of God. Now, to secure the Christian worldview, there is something you must do. There is something you must do, which is total immersion in the word of God. To secure the Christian worldview, you need to immerse yourself in the word of God. You need to immerse yourself deeply in the word of God. You know when you want to do baptism? I remember I did baptism some time ago. And what happened was that we were immersed in the water. Every part of us was immersed in the water. That's the same way. You must be immersed in the water of the word. You must be immersed in the word. You can't happen to this world without being totally immersed in the word of God. The world will keep happening to you. The world will keep dictating how you live, how you move, how you act your being, how you have your being. You will do badly. This one came to me yesterday. I think it was Monday. I was in the train and I was just thinking. And then Jesus was just telling me. So Jesus was telling me, you will do badly if you don't immerse yourself in the word of God. You will do badly in this world. You will do so badly that you will hate yourself after it. You will do a lot of crazy things that you normally wouldn't have even imagined you could do. If you are not deeply rooted in the word, if you are not somebody that spends time in God's word, have you realized that has there ever been a time where you didn't read your Bible for like a month? Let's be sincere. For like a month. Right? Let's wave. Let me see the righteous and non-righteous people here. Then when you all are righteous for a month. So you 1 month they pass, you know they read the word of God. Well, let me not lie to you. Okay, now no. 1 month. No, I can't do that. I will just die. The word of God is my life. Everybody say the word of God is my life. Right now, so you realize that within space of that 1 month, you begin to move funny. You begin to do some things that could really make sense. You find yourself telling a lie, white lie in quote. You find yourself, enjoying weird videos. Don't let me say it on TikTok. You find yourself listening to one. Yeah, just let me just listen to it once. So it happened to me some time ago. Am I supposed to mention somebody's name? Am I dropped an album, right? Because I love rap so much. I like rap so much. But I don't listen to worldly songs. I don't. Since 2016, I made the decision I'm not going to listen to worldly songs anymore because I was leaving out the things they were saying. Imagine Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, Rick Ross were my favorite rappers back then. Imagine Lil Wayne will be telling you, he will be saying dirty things, right? And I was leaving out all of those things. The lyrics of the songs, they influence me. Sometimes before I start my day, then there was a song I used to listen to back then, Bruno Mars. Each time I listen to that song, today I don't feel like to do anything. I promise you. So that time I was learning graphics design at Alloy World in Mokola, and we're staying at Iwo Road. I was using one very funny, useless Gioni phone. That's my phone, Gioni. It's not an internet-enabled phone, but you put memory card inside. Jensik Pong Bigon. You cannot relate to what I'm saying. So you put the memory card inside the phone, right? So I'll just play. Once I wake up in the morning like this, and I listen to that song, even if I've dressed up to go to work, I promise I won't go. I'll just be moving around the house. I will just see one thing. This book, I've not read it before. Let me read one chapter and I'll be there. It's a lie, yo. I won't read up to 3 lines. I'll drop it and go and do something else. These things, they are backed up by something is influencing these things. The Bible says in Job chapter 32 and verse 8 that Job 32, can somebody help me? For there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Can you now tell me what inspires those who do not have the Spirit of God? The devil. I was watching a video. I was watching a video where Meek Mill was. Have you mentioned all these guys? Their names a lot. Meek Mill was. They interviewed him a long time ago. And he was saying, so he was confessing now. So they're interviewing him. And he was saying that we used to get, we get paid. I said video on my Instagram. We get paid to say dirty things. We get paid to say things that will make people do badly. I can share the video with you if you want it. He was saying it in an interview. This one is not AI. As I went and recorded the video, there was no ChatGPT. So this one is not AI made the video. Mm-mm. He was saying it that they pay us. As a matter of fact, all these record labels in, I don't know if they do it in Nigeria, but the record labels over there, they pay, there are some people that they will start a record label, right? They will start a record label, they will sign artists, they will give them money, they will tell them the kind of lyrics they should write, the kind of lyrics that would make you do crazy things, the kind of lyrics that will make you go and shoot somebody, the kind of lyrics that will make you jump out of the window. He was saying it in the video. He was not saying the people that sponsored the people that sponsored the record label, they own prisons. Like, they own actual prisons. So they sponsor the record labels. The record label sign artists, give them money, write songs that will make people commit something that will bring them to the prison. So the people that are sponsoring the record label, they are making money from the prison, right? Because by the time you sing songs about I'm gonna murder, I can you come? Whoever listens to the song will go and murder somebody, and then they take you to the prison that was created by the Godfathers. So Mick got tired that, because at that time it was already his brothers. I mean his gang members, people that are close to him, they are already ending up in prison. Say, this one cannot go on like this. And then he came out to talk about it. And there are so many people like that. You go, you will see concerts where why would just singing be? How many times have you seen where somebody, for example, Minister Dusinyo, Pastor Nat, is ministering upstage and somebody is fainting? And there is stampede. Experience is usually over 700,000. Or 70, is it 70 or 700,000? Probably the largest concert, usually the largest concert in the world. There has never been a time where stampede was recorded. But you see concerts of just 15,000 people, 20,000 people. People are dying. You think there's no spirit backing that. There's an evil spirit. That's why the Bible says we don't mess with the things of the world. That's why you don't listen to their songs. Don't listen to their songs. Yes, call me. Paul Rich is too spirit. Coco, why is what's there? There are some clean lyrics. Yeah, there are some clean lyrics. But do you know their source? Do you know where they are getting inspiration from? It's me. It is so obvious the inspiration is not from God, because the Bible says in Job 32 verse 8, there's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. If they don't have that spirit, then that means they are not getting inspiration from the word of God. So where are they getting inspiration from? And we know that everything contrary to the word of God is of the devil. So why are you peddling? Why are you listening to their song? Why are you wearing their outfit? You don't need to. You don't have to. You don't need to, and you don't have to. If we think fleshly, so I said earlier that I'm going to, this is still in line with what Pastor was talking about, because I'm still, all of these things has a lot to do with how we think. What you think is what you see. What you think is what you see. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think it, you will see it. If you think it, you will see it. Talk to your neighbor, say, if you think it, you will see it. If we think fleshly thoughts, wrong thoughts, negative thoughts, we cannot walk in the spirit. And we all know a life not lived by the spirit cannot conquer the world. A life that is lived by the spirit can conquer the world. A life not lived by the spirit cannot. You cannot conquer the world. It is impossible. You can't conquer the world. It is only the life that is lived by the spirit that can please God. It is only the life that is lived by the Spirit that can please God. And there's no way you are thinking negative thoughts and you are walking in the Spirit at the same time. It doesn't go hand in hand. It is impossible. It is impossible. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you will find yourself doing badly. You will find yourself committing. You find yourself fornicating. You find yourself lying. You find yourself stealing. You find yourself doing badly. You find yourself doing badly. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Expression as walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Only a God-like thinking is what brings about a successful Christian life. So when I talk about successful Christian life, I'm talking about money and all those things. Whatever success means to you, Sha. Only a God-like thinking brings about a successful Christian life. In other words, right thinking is vital to victorious living. Right thinking is vital to victorious living. You think defeat, you see defeat. You think victory, you see victory. That's just how life is. Now, this is not me trying to, you know, hype my club. I support Man U, right? And everybody knows. When last season, Manchester United was we're having a very, 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 very terrible season. We're so poor. And somehow, we struggled to enter into a final to play against the best team in the world. Man is the best team in the world. I'm saying we're going to play against one of the best teams in the world, which was Manchester City at that time. And as the cup final was fast approaching, Even Manchester United fans knew that there's no way, because this team, they used to beat Man U. They will beat us 4-1, 6-1. There was not a beat us 6-3. Ah, daddy, I wanted to cry. Oh, God, have mercy. Right? So the cup final was fast approaching. I think a month to the cup final. And I was thinking victory. I'm telling you, I told Emmanuel, I said, Emmanuel, why you collect this cup? I was not doing normal boasting, no, because there are some, let me be honest with you. There are some matches I know. I know that we cannot win this match. But I will still come. Hey, don't pass this. I will still come to you and say, hey, man, we win this match. That's just how it is. We don't back down. Do you get? So this one, I just knew we were going to win that match. I was not thinking. I imagined Man U lifting the trophy and all of those things. And guess what? The final came. We won. And we won the trophy. If you like, say that God is not in football. It's none of my business. But what I can say is that I thought about victory and I got victory. If you can think victory, you can see victory. If you think defeat, you will see defeat. That's just how it is. Chelsea right now is in a... They are trying, right? They are trying. We're going to play them. We played them last week Sunday. And in my mind, I was not seeing defeat. I was not seeing defeat at all. I told Fola, I said, this match, we will beat you 4-0 or we draw. But when you beat me, here, no way. And what happened? We played a draw. These things might sound is kinikon, but on a more serious note, guys, if you think victory, you see victory. If you think defeat, you see defeat. That's just how it is. All right? What you think is what you see. You need to understand the fundamental principles of the world, to be a change agent in this world, all right? To stand out and to remain standing, even when the evil day comes. The truth of the matter is that evil days will come. Evil days will come. All right? But when evil days come, what do you have to stand? On what are you standing on? On what are you standing on? When evil day came, the devil came and he was trying to tempt Jesus. He was saying, turn this one to this one, turn this stone to bread, jump from this place to that place. What was Jesus answering him with? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus was answering with the word of God, because Jesus, well, of course, we know that Jesus himself is the living word, but I mean, we can be the word too. That they wake you in your sleep. Somebody's trying. I remember one time, many years ago, I was sleeping, and in my sleep, a mad, I don't know if it was a mad or mad woman, started chasing me in my dream. And that time now, we're just living life normal, nothing is up. So a mad person was chasing me in my dream. And then I woke up and I just looked around and I just went back to bed. Guess what happened? A week after, that time we're seeing Potter's Planet. We finished Dinah First Rehearsal on a Wednesday. So Dinah First Rehearsal just started. So we're rehearsing on Wednesday. So we finished Dinah First Rehearsal. Ebenezer Chinoye, Sam Ikem, and I were going to roundabout. We wanted to walk to roundabout, cross to the other side, and then take cab. Right? So as we're going, a mad woman was coming this way. And this mad woman started chasing me. And guess what happened? I ran. I started running, in the night. Guess what happened after? I felt so bad. So one thing that happens to me, when I feel fear, I feel bad. I hate it when I'm scared. I hate it when something scares me. I don't like, I feel bad. I say, Paul, why you go to fear? Do you understand? So I felt really bad. I said, oh, man, this thing cannot happen again. So I built capacity. I'm serious, so this is real life, this thing. I built capacity, right? Of course, after that time, I made a decision. I was going to be reading the Bible from Pali to Pali. If you don't know what Pali to Pali is, from cover to cover, once in a year. So, in fact, Vincent and I would do competition that, oh yeah, who is the first to finish? So, I'll read. I was not reading so that I'll be able to stand mad women. I was just building capacity. Do you understand? So, I built capacity so much. So, one day in my sleep, somebody came and was trying to eat me with. So it was like, let's say this is in my room. So let's say, so my bed somewhere around there, and the door over there. So he stood there and he was coming, he was approaching me with some black thing, wanted to eat my head. Immediately I saw it. What came out of my mouth? Psalm 91. I started quoting it. You know this Monziah movie that the devil will be going back like this? That was what happened. Like, I saw it. That was what happened. There was also a time I was about to get attacked by somebody. God has seen you. When I come to this and I said, God has delivered me. I don't know what I'm saying, no. This time I was about to get attacked by somebody. Somebody I know. This one is not choice. This one is not film. Somebody I know very well. She was trying to attack me. And the scripture that jumped out of my mouth was Ephesians, I take on the whole armor of God, the sword of the spirit. That was scripture that came. And immediately, she left. I said all of these things to say that when the day of evil comes, what will come out of your mouth to stand, to tackle it? What will come out of your mouth? Is it, mommy, please, mommy, please? There was a time also, maybe I should just... it was Christmas Eve. I was on a call with Solomon. Right? Solomon. And we didn't have girlfriends that time now. So imagine talking to a guy for hours. We're talking about people for hours, just talking about all sorts of things. So it was Christmas Eve. She was still very small then. So everybody had traveled. It was Moya and I. I think Eddie was asleep. I can't remember. So we were in the house and armed robbers were coming. They robbed all the houses. Like, they were robbing, like, house. So they would collect, once they rob you, they would collect your phone, so you cannot call anybody, right? So by the time they got to our compound, so Moi was, because I was on the phone now, Moi was the one that, like, she was in Sister Tolu's room, so she saw them coming, and she saw gun and all those things. It was so crazy. This was 2017, 18, or thereabout. No, 2017, 16. So she came to the living room where I was and said, "Bro, Babo, thief. And I looked through the window. By the time I looked through the window, these guys entered our compound. I'm serious. They had guns. No, guys. I'm actually serious. They had guns. And by the time they entered our compound, what came out of my mouth was Psalm 23. And I just started quoting it. They were not, and do you know what happened? One of them just screamed. One of them just said, Bogo. I can't forget that name. The name was Bogo. B-O-G-O. Bogo, may we come up for that house. May we leave that house. They left our house and they moved to the next house and they did that house dirty. They robbed them, they slapped, they did all sorts of things, but they left our house. I'm saying that you can use the word of God to build an edge around yourself, such that when evil tries to come, it will bounce back. That's why David said in Psalm 119, he says, it's Psalm 119 now. He said, it is your word that I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. The word of God prevents you from the evil one. That's what the word of God does. The word of God prevents you from the evil one. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he was talking about the fact that, okay, so let me just paraphrase. The Ephesians 6:12 and 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Okay, good. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds. They are strongholds in our minds. The devil can build a stronghold in your mind, but you can pull it down by the renewal of your mind. Once your mind is renewed, there is nothing you cannot pull down. There is no stronghold that will be too strong for you to pull down. And as a matter of fact, we have a weapon, which is the word of God. We have a weapon we can use to pull down every thought. Go to verse 5 very quickly. See what verse 5 asks for us. It says, casting down imaginations and everything, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So every bad thought can be brought into the obedience of Christ, you can pull down every stronghold. You can pull down every stronghold. You can pull down every, no matter how strong the stronghold is, you can pull it down. Be it addiction, be it lust, be it envy, pride, strife, whatever it is, you can pull it down. You can't afford to think defeat. You can't afford to let that which is not of God take a hold of your mind. Because when your mind is not renewed, Romans 12:2, the benefit of Romans 12:2 will not happen. He says, do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove what is good. In other words, if your mind is not transformed, if your mind is not renewed, you will not be able to prove what is good and acceptable. You won't know. You won't be able to know right from wrong. Whatever they put on your table, you take it, you eat it. Just like that. Look at the Hebrew boys. They gave them this food and they said, we are not going to get ourselves into the food that has been offered to God. When you have yourself immersed in the word of God, you'll be able to take a stand. You'll be able to take a stand. The devil will see. One of the things you need to understand is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not your colleague. Your enemy is not your boss. Your enemy is not your neighbor. There is a spirit backing everything that they do to you. It is that spirit that you tackle. It is not your neighbor. And you can't tackle spirit by slapping the spirit physically. You can go to the place of prayer and slap spirit. I'm serious. In the place of prayer and in the word. You can't pray aright without the word of God. Oh, I can't. I'm not going to pray into prayer. All right. So let me move very fast now. A renewed mind, just like we've learned from Pastor Fred, can believe God for anything, even an entire nation. A renewed mind can believe. There's absolutely nothing a renewed mind cannot believe God for. You can believe God for anything if your mind is renewed. If your mind is renewed by the word of the Lord, you can believe God for this nation. That God, there was a man that believed God for an entire nation. He said, give me Scotland or I die. And it happened. And it happened. A renewed mind can believe God for anything. You can't have a positive life with a negative mind. It is impossible. You cannot. You will not have a positive life with a negative mindset. You can't. If you think negative, you can't have anything positive. It is impossible. In other words, a wilderness will remain a wilderness until you take on the thoughts of God. If you want a wilderness to turn to a... If you want the wilderness to become a fruitful field, take on the thoughts of God. Take on the thoughts of God. Take on the thoughts of God. Whatever you think, you see. If you can think it, you can see it. I'm not trying to sound like all this perspire to Maguire now, but that is actually what it is. If you can think it, you can see it. It is out there. As far as you can see. As far as you can see. As far as you can see. When God told this man that as far as you can see, what was he talking about? You think he was saying that as far as you can see? If it was like by physical eyes, he won't be able to see. If I stand here now and this place is opened, I can't see beyond with my physical eyes. I can't see beyond probably maybe Mokola Hill here. If there is no building here, I can't see beyond that. But with my spiritual eyes, all right, that is also like my imagination. I can see the entire nation. I can see the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is the power of imagination. If you can imagine it, if you can think it, so far it is in line with God's word, you will see it. So far it's in line with God's word, you will see it. The moment you begin to think like God, you will watch a wilderness become a fruitful field and a desert become a river. The Bible says that a tree is known by its fruit. The same is true in our lives. Thoughts are fruit bearers. Thoughts, they bear fruit. Think good thoughts and watch your life bear good fruit. Think bad thoughts and watch your life bear bad fruit. If you can take on the thoughts of God, we can view the world through the lens of the word. Remember, what you think is what you see. If you take on the thoughts of God, you will not... That way, you can't afford to think the way the world thinks. You begin to see the world the way God sees the world. The way God sees the world. Because now you begin to see through the lens of the word of God. Let's rise up on our feet. Choir, please help me. I want us to take this song. I want us to take this song. This is the air I breathe. The very word of the living God. That is our oxygen. Oxygen. The word of God is our oxygen. We cannot live without this word. We cannot live without this word. If I were you, by the time I get home tonight, I will immerse myself in the word. Tomorrow morning, immerse yourself. The next day, immerse. A day should never go by where you are not immersing yourself in the word of God. One chapter per day. You see, look, you don't have to read 10 chapters in a day. Take it one step at a time. Even if it is a chapter, read it. The more you read, the more you want to read. But a day should never come where you are not immersing yourself in the word of God. Because when the trials and tribulations of this life comes, you'll be swept away by every wind of doctrine. You cannot afford to let the word influence you. And you cannot influence the word if you are not immersed in the word of God. I beseech you, brethren, in the mercies of God, get yourself immersed in this word. This word is life. This word is full of hope. This word is full of peace. Get yourself immersed in this word. You are a Christian and you don't have a Bible? Come on. Come on, you can do better than that. You don't have money to buy, but you are buying clothes. This is the word of God that you should let your life be shaped by. This is what should be calling the shot of your life. I want to encourage you tonight. Make a decision. Begin to talk to God. Just talk to God. Talk to God. Say, God, help me. You need to make a decision and say, God, a day, make a commitment to God and say, a day will never go by without me immersing myself in your word. Make that commitment to God and ask Him to help Him. Ask Him to help you. Quiet, please, help me. So can you talk to God out loud, please? The very presence of God. Oh, Jesus. 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 Are you talking to God this evening? Please talk to God. Make a commitment to God tonight and say, I will immerse myself in your word. Help is here tonight. I can feel it strongly. Help is here. Help is here. The Lord will have me tell somebody, help is here. Don't say, at the Spirit of the Lord. Help is here. Help is here. You want to touch the hem of God's garment. You want to touch the hem of God's garment. Help is here. Help is here. All eyes closed. Talk to God. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. Can you say, God, I'm nothing without your word. I'm nothing without your word. I'm nothing without you. We are nothing without you, God. Oh, La Maria. Oh, Maria. We are desperate for your word, oh God. There is an awakening. There is an awakening. There's an awakening in our spirits, man. An awakening to read the word. An awakening to be immersed in the word. An awakening to soak ourselves in the word of life. We are lost without you. We are lost without you. Man, brother, bali yanga de de bosu ke de liye de liye de bana bosa. Enke ye de bana bosu ke de liye de bosa. Asa 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 bali yanga de de bosa. Ita bali yanga de de bosa. Are you talking to God? Help is here. Help is here. His grace is sufficient for you. You have been tired of reading the word of God. Help is here. There is, you can get fresh fire. You can get fresh fire. Fresh passion for the word. Fresh passion for the word. Ika pala du shakadela makaya balia kadele kete bosa ike de 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 bosu kete liye de bosa inde liye kete liye de de baba balia kete de bosa ese pelie kese kete belie kete de bosa ika papa liye kete de bosa isa palia de de bosa. Oh God, oh God, let the passion for your word consume us. Let the passion for this word consume us. Let the passion for this world. For where can we go from you, O God? Where can we go from you, O God? For you alone have the word of life. You alone have the word of life. You alone have the word of life. Oh God, I ask that you help every man in this house. That you help every man in this house. to be consumed by the zeal for your word. This is our daily bread. Your word becomes our daily bread. Your very word. Oh God, help me. God, I ask that you help me. Help me, God. Give me the grace to be immersed in your word, so I'm not tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. God help me. I ask for your help, oh God. I want to be immersed in your word. Give me the grace. Enough of being lukewarm. I'm tired of sleeping over your word. Help me to be a great meditator of your word. Help me to be a doer of your word, so I can influence the culture around me, so I can apply to my word, so that the word doesn't dictate how I live my life. Oh Jesus, we acknowledge that we are lost without you. We are absolutely nothing without you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sweet. Living word, for your word is life, your word is hope, peace, your word is full of joy, unspeakable, full of glory. We latch onto your word. We thank you, oh God, because there is a great awakening in this house. We thank you because the zeal for your word has consumed every man in this house. The zeal for your word, the passion for your word, the passion, the zeal to meditate upon your word, to read it, the zeal, oh God, we become the doers. We become doers of Joshua 1:8. This book of the law will not depart out of our mouth. The grace to meditate upon it day and night rest upon us tonight. The grace to observe, to do according to all that is written in it, rest upon us tonight. The grace to have good success according to this word, rest upon us tonight. The grace to make our ways prosperous according to the dictates of this word, rest upon us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you praise and glory because we know for a truth that we have been transformed into the express image of the Father. Blessed be your name, O God. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Please jam your hands together for the King of Glory. Hallelujah.